cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion nor self and nor sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Is there no more condemnation for sin? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Thank you very much, Brother Scott. It's a good time again to come together for the Bible study. And I'd like us to please bow our head as we pray together. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the opportunity of our coming before you. We thank you for the Bible study, the opportunity to look into the perfect law of liberty. Lord, we ask, the Bible said, the entrance of your word giveth light. Let your word come to us with simplicity, and let it meet with faith in our hearts. We desire from now, O God, that as we again press on, looking at the kind of heart that you want to engage and use to make us vessels in your hand, we ask that you open our understanding, and whatever will be an obstacle, please clear it out and show us your mercy. And Father, this day we want to pray for all those who are joining us in the Bible study, all our brothers and sisters scattered in different parts of the world who have come along with the Bible study. We do ask, O God, that you reach out to each one of us, those that are sitting together as a class, as a Bible study class or a discipleship class, or as a weekly Bible study in their local churches, and those, O God, who are sitting as families, and those who are just on their own. We do ask whether they are meeting with us on Zoom or on YouTube, or those that are coming along on Telegram, those that have come on Facebook, those that are meeting with us on MixLR, and those that are coming along with the language channels, those that are coming on the Francophone, the French class, and the people in Chichewa, and all the local languages. We ask, O God, that you reach out to all of us. We ask that your word will mix with faith in our hearts. We desire, Lord, that as you are doing all this, let there be a divine visitation, let there be an encounter with you. We ask that this thing that you are doing among us, may it redound, O God, unto a revival, unto a raising of vessels, that you can use love from one nation to another to cause your glory to break forth upon your people. Those that have come to us perhaps for the first time and they are needing a divine touch in their lives, those that need to have a fresh touch with the Lord Jesus himself, we ask that you meet all of us at our point of need. Again, the Bible says, the Lord sent forth his word and he heals them of all their diseases. Lord, could anybody be joining us today in a situation of distress or going through any challenge of healing or diseases? As your word go forth, we ask that your word will again encounter such situation and bring deliverance, bring healing to your people. Give us opportunity again to see that the word of life, the word which you send and creates even the entire earth, you are sending it again. Let it create health. Let it create deliverance. Let it create divine intervention in several lives. Let it be, O God. Give us opportunity again to see you at work in the midst of your people. Take honor and take all the glory this day. For we have asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. We appreciate you wherever you have clicked in. And those that are meeting with us as a class, as a group, we are praying that God again will reach out to you and bless you deliberately and particularly. We also want to plead with you that because it's a Bible study, please download the Bible study outline so that you can follow us. And if you have been able to pick the book, we're going to read from the book as we're studying along. Today, we are going to start looking at chapter 5, The Entangled Heart. In the book, it will be page 79. And the outline, as it has been said, you can download it right away. All the links are sent around. So you can just download or you scan the code, whatever it is, that is available to you. Please feel free to do that, because we are trusting that the word of God, as it is going forth among us, God will use it to bless and to prepare us to be the man, the woman that God finds for his work as a vessel. Now, today, like we said, we are going to go to look at the entangled heart. Now, this is only a continuation of that parable that Jesus Christ spoke about, the parable which we generally know as the parable of the sower. And what has drawn us to look at this parable deliberately is because we've been looking at what God looks at in the men, in the women he uses. And we came to discover that one crucial thing that God looks at, he does not look at appearance, he does not look at outward physique, he does not look at how somebody, the stature, the height of stature, he does not even look at your educational attainment. He looks at the heart. And if God finds a heart that he can work with, nobody, nothing can stop God from lavishing himself and lavishing his glory into that life. And the reason why we need to take note of the issue of the heart is because the heart of the matter is the heart. If the heart is not right with God, nothing is right. So as our brethren from the U.S. Exhorted us in the song they brought, is your heart right with God? Have you put aside all the issues that stand between you and the Savior in the heart? The Bible said, these people draw near me even with their lips. They even sing, but their heart is far from me. That's what matters to God. If he comes into any service, if he comes to any church, If it comes to any place where people seem to have been gathering around, it doesn't look at their faces, doesn't look at how they are dressed, it doesn't look at their stature, doesn't look at their status, it looks at their heart. So, and that parable gave us a very graphic analysis of the kind of heart that the Word of God can encounter. And so I'm going to request that our sister Stephanie, is Sister Stephanie already on?
Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Stephanie. You are reading from Belize for us. We want you to take the book of Mark, chapter 4. Again, we are going to read the entire story before we settle to where we are going today. You are reading Mark chapter 4.
Yes,
you pick it for us from verse 3.
Okay.
And you read to verse 9.
Okay.
In the first place.
Amen.
And then we will ask you to go ahead and pick it from verse 18 and verse 19. So you read Mark chapter 4 from verse 3 to 9. And then you come on with us to read from verse 18 and 19.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 9. New King James Version. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Thank you. Thank you, our sister. The Lord bless you. Just before we go into the outline to look at the introduction, I first just want to give you a rundown of what we have done so far, just so that you can keep being the link of what God had been saying. We saw that he said, for anything to be done in the kingdom of God, for anything to happen that will bring the kingdom life, it does not happen ordinarily, it does not happen naturally. A sower must go out to sow. And we saw that the connection between our lives and the purpose of God is that the seed of the word of God has to be sown. So a sower went out to sow. We saw that the sower will be God or all those whom he has sent forth with the word of life. All those God has ordained, anointed, and equipped the word of God to go and preach it, to go and cast the word of God, the word of life into the hearts of men, they will be the sower. And then we saw that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. You know, we've been reading this parable in between the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke. And if you go quickly to Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he says, the seed is the word of God. We said the incorruptible seed is the word of God. And the word of God is the seed, the incorruptible seed that brings in the life of Christ into any heart. Whatever God is going to do with you, it has to be by the sowing of the seed of the word of God. Where the word of God has not been cast, we don't have any expectation for the kingdom life. The kingdom life cannot take place unless the seed of the word of God had been deliberately sown into the hearts of men. The kingdom life, the new creation life, will not start by wishful thinking. It will not start by chatting. It will not start by just telling other stories. No other story has the capacity to create the life. It must be the story from the word of God. It must be Christ being preached. It must be God's word that God is sending forth into the heart of men. That is the only means by which the kingdom of God is ever established anywhere. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for changing lives. So we know the seed is the word of God. Now, I want to confess quickly here that the seed, which is the word of God, is incorruptible. It endures forever. The Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not a jot or a tittle of his word will go unfulfilled. God has done all his work over the years by the word of God, by sending forth his word, by sowing the seed of the word of God. All those who became great in the hand of God, all those whom God used to establish his kingdom and push it to a distance, all the great preachers you have ever read about, whether they are Charles Finney, Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, nothing could have happened in their lives until the word, until the seed of the word of God was cast into their heart. It's the same way. God has not changed. There's no other way by which we can grow the church if we don't preach the word of God. There's no way we can raise kingdom-minded people if the word of God is not cast into their lives. A situation where we gather people, we entertain them, we give them all kinds of songs and dances, and we give them motivational speaking, that is not going to produce the kingdom life. And that is not going to grow the church of Christ anywhere. Where the word of God is not preached, something else, and whatever else, cannot produce the kind of life that God is looking for. So the sower went forth to sow the seed, and the seed is the word of God. Then we saw that in between the sower, the seed, the next thing that determines whether the kingdom life will take off, whether someone will be helped, is the soil. And so the Lord Jesus spoke about four kinds of soil, which represent the four kinds of hearts. And we have been dealing with them. He said, it happened as he sowed. Some fell, some seed fell by the wayside. And we have dealt severally with the wayside heart. In the course of this study, in this section, we dealt with the wayside heart. And then we talked about the wayside heart, the heart that is on the road, that as soon as the word of God is cast, because there is no understanding, the birds of the air, the spirit of the devil, they come and pick it up so that there will be no understanding. And of course, there was no result. Then we saw the seed that fell on the stony ground, and we were talking about the superficial heart. That was what we stopped with last week. We were looking at the stony heart, the superficial heart, the heart that has no soil, has nowhere for the word of God to enter and shoot down its roots. We saw that such persons, they are excited, they can be emotional, they can even receive the word of God with joy, but because there is no depth, there is no soil, they shoot out. We said any plant that is going to be perennial must first grow downward. It grow roots first before it bring forth fruit upward. The way of a fruitfulness is to grow your root down before you shoot out. But a superficial heart does not have space, has no soil. So whatever you cast in there, it shoots up and there is nowhere to shoot down. So whenever the sun came, whenever persecution came, because of the word of God, it dries, it withers out, and becomes, it bears no fruit. Now, today we are going ahead to look at the entangled heart, the seed that fell among thorns. That's what we are beginning to now look at. And let me ask Brother Scott, to please go to the outline, and you will help us read the introduction, the entangled heart. We are going to be looking at the introduction. And just before he reads, I want you to know that what we are calling the entangled heart, we are talking about the seed that fell among thorns. And as our sister Stephanie had read, he said, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So, my brother, can you help us to look at the introduction?
Yes. Introduction. The Word of God is the primary instrument for changing men or any situation. In the last study, we focused on understanding the nature and characteristics of the stony heart, which is the second type of heart God are described in the parable of the sower. We noted that a stony heart is rigid, tough, and resistant, like the stony ground that cannot retain the Word of God. This type of heart receives the word of God with excitement, but without depth, and therefore unable to produce the desired fruits. In this chapter, we will dive deeper into the third type of heart, which is referred to as the entangled heart, illustrated in the parable by the seed that fell among thorns. We trust the Lord to help us gain a good understanding of what the Scripture has to say about this kind of heart, as we look up onto him in this study, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. So we are going now to look at the nature of the entangled heart. And we are going to read the scriptures that we started reading. And we are looking unto God to give us understanding as we go ahead, particularly today. Let me ask that we now pick our scriptures. Let's pick our scriptures. And Sister Carla, is Sister Carla on the platform for us today?
No, sir, it's Sister Marcia and Sister Stephanie.
Okay, I've not seen Sister Marcia.
Sister Marcia? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my
God. I'm here.
Okay. I'm not seeing your face.
So, can you see me? Marcia,
so can you please come on, and you will read Mark chapter 4, verse 7, verse 18, and verse 19. And then we'll ask our Sister Stephanie to read Philippians chapter 4, and we want you to read it for us from Good News Bible. And if you are able to get Philips Modern English, you will help us read. If you don't have it, I suppose maybe Brother Scott may have it. Then we will now get to Brother Scott, who will read Luke chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. But maybe to make it very explicit, you read it from verse 38 to verse 42. Brother Scott, you are going to help us read from verse 38 to 42. And if you are able to get, after you have read it in the New King James or King James, if you now get it from Amplified Version or the Message, we'll pick it up. Now, and 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, Sister Marsha, we'll return back to you. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, Sister Stephanie, let's go ahead as much as we can. We're reading from Mark chapter 4. Yes.
Okay. So Mark chapter 4 verse 7, and this is in the New King James Version. Right. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And in verse 18 and 19, Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pick Philippians 4:6 before we begin to draw comments on these passages.
Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Good News Translation. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart. Amen.
Thank you very much. Is there a Phyllis Mother English? Of that chapter 4, verse 6? Do we have Phillips? Sister Stephanie, I don't think you have Phillips. So let's check whether...
No, sir.
Can you read it out for us, sir?
Let me see. Let's see.
Phillips Mother English? Do you have it here? Can you put it on screen?
Yeah. Mine is coming up, but it's not accurate.
All right. Okay. All right. Maybe we can go ahead. When we come back, we'll see how to get it.
Okay.
Philip's Modern English. So let's go on reading the next passages. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Brother Scott?
Yes, sir. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And 1 Peter 5, 7.
Okay. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the New King James. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And the final passage is 2 Timothy 2, 4. Sister Stephanie?
Yes, sir. Good News Translation. 2 Timothy 2, 4. A soldier on active duty wants to please his commanding officer, and so does not get mixed up in the affairs of civilian life.
He does not get mixed up in the affairs of civilian life. Thank you. Yes. Now, let's quickly look at what we are reading about as we look at the nature of the entangled hearts. The first thing that was very striking as we read Mark chapter 4, which our sister read, and I want to just repeat it as it came forth then. He said, the other seed fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. We are noting that what entangled the seed, though the seed has the same capacity to produce fruit, it has the life that can shoot forth and give several, many, many fold of a fruit. But now, just as that seed was beginning to shoot out and grow, the Bible said the thorns, the thistles, also grew and pressed it together and utterly choked it and suffocated it such that it yielded no fruit, it yielded no grain. And so the Lord began to explain what that meant in verse 18 and verse 19. And I would like you to please come with me to verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19, as we read it in the New King James Version before, says, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for all that is entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let me repeat that verse again. Say, and they hear the word of God quite all right. Perhaps they receive the word of God quite all right. But now, because it is sown among thorns, the Bible said, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for all that is entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It does not bring out any result. So we're seeing issues now, that the heart we are talking about now is a heart. It may be eager to hear the word of God. It may actually be a good heart that could have received the word of God. But now there's a problem. It was a heart that is sown, that is in between the thorns, the cares of this age, the deceitfulness of this of riches, the desire for other things. They enter in and choke the word to the extent that it has become unfruitful. It has become unfruitful. It cannot produce result because it was choked. It was pressed together. When I was reading it from the Amplified Bible, I wanted to note what he said. He said, other seed of the same kind fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. So when you now go to verse 18, said the ones sown among the thorns are those who hear the word of God. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. I would like you to note the issues we are going to be talking about as we look at the nature of the entangled heart. We are seeing that the entangled heart has received the word of God quite okay, then the cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of this age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the world, and it becomes fruitless. So, as we are looking at this today, I would like to first begin to ask you to check. Is your heart free from entanglement? Or there are many things. I know you desire to be useful. You desire to be fruitful. You desire to walk with God. But what of the things that are choking it up? What of the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of this age that is not letting your heart be focused on what God wants to do with you? The pleasure and the delight, the false glamour and the deceitfulness of riches, which I'm going to be discussing as the Lord will be leading us today, and the craving and passionate desire for other things. The Bible says they creep in and choke, suffocate the world, and it becomes fruitless. There are many brothers and sisters that could have been wonderful in the purpose of God today, but they are fruitless simply because they are entangled. They are choked. Now, but as we go on, we read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And Philippians 4, verse 6, had simply said, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer, supplication, make your request known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So the things that choke men's life, the anxieties of this life, we are going to begin to discover that you don't need to be choked. Your life ought not to be choked with those things because they are the things that God is going to have given to you in the first instance. He said, but do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests that you are making unto God with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And that will have been enough. That will have been enough. Verse 7 says, and the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace, he will respond. He will garrison your heart. And he will bring that request to pass according to his promises. Now, I want us to go ahead. We read the book of Luke chapter 10. I think we should please return to Luke chapter 10, all of us. I want you to turn your Bibles back to Luke chapter 10. And you see a very quick illustration of somebody that the Word of God wants to show us. We are told that the Lord Jesus entered into a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And you already know the story of Mary and Martha with their brother Lazarus. They are settled somewhere in Bethany. And the Lord Jesus often resorts to them. And the Bible noted that Jesus loves the family. He loves Mary, he loves Martha, he loves Lazarus. Even when Lazarus was sick unto that point of death, they sent for him. They said, Lazarus, the man whom you love, is sick. So we know that they have a great and functional relationship with the Lord. But look at something that happened that the Word of God wants us to focus our mind upon. He said, she also had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. listening to his teaching. Even though Jesus had come to their house, something was clear. Mary herself knew that the person that had come, Christ Jesus, we need to give him attention. Even though entertainment of bringing this, bringing that would have looked wonderful, but Mary knew that if I did not give attention to Jesus and sit at his feet, I would have wasted his visitation into my life. But we saw a difference between herself and Martha. And that was where the passage came from, verse 40. Verse 40, if you flash verse 40 out again. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And the word I want you to note is the word distracted. It is not serving that is wrong. Serving God or serving people is not the wrong thing. But if your service distracts you from the main one thing that is needful, if you are distracted from giving attention to what matters most, to the word of God, to the teaching of the word of God that can make you transformed and make you to become like Jesus and become usable in his hand, then you are distracted indeed. So when this woman came to Jesus and said, Master, don't you care that this girl left me? I want to read that verse 40 again. He said, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. But to my surprise, the Lord Jesus was going to answer this sister very clearly. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You wonder why he had to call her twice. Because she's so distracted with many things, even though she's the one standing there. I don't think if I'm just talking to her, I need to mention your name again. No. But this Martha, Martha, Martha is so distracted. Jesus had to call her Martha. Martha. You see, I'm the one reading it like that, but you can read it in your own way. Read it the way you read it. You know how to read it. If somebody calls you two times, you know that they are calling something out of you. Martha! 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 How many ears do you have? And Jesus went straight and said, but Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Let me pick it from the Amplified version here. It says, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with not serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. And if you saw the way Amplify put it, it ended with an exclamation mark. When you put an exclamation mark at the end of a sentence, it means it's a shout. So, and I'm surprised that here's Martha, who came to Jesus and called him Lord. How do you shout on him who is your Lord? And I look at how she was putting a request, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has led me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and to do her part along with me, she shouted. Now, when you become distracted in life, when you get distracted even with activities, the Lord Jesus is no longer in his place of honor in your heart. Somehow, Martha may have thought that her service is so, so, so important that even the Lord Jesus should be rebuked. She was so overwhelmed and overwhelmingly distracted to the extent that she was shouting on him whom he calls her Lord. Sister, I want to ask you, are you overwhelmed? Are you possessed? Are you so occupied and too busy that your worship life is finished? Your attitude of quiet response and respect for the Lord is already destroyed. Are you so entangled with activities that now you have almost crossed your boundary? So we saw this woman shouting on the Lord. But look at verse 41. The Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. This is where your trouble is. You are distracted. You are worried. You are bothered about many things. There is only one thing. There is need of only one. Not many things. Only one thing is needful. Please bring it back for me in the King James Version, or the Old King James, or the New King James. It says, only one thing is needful. And Mary had made that choice. Mary has chosen it, and it shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen it, which means it's a choice that each one of us must make if we are going to walk effectively with God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5 said, be sober, be vigilant. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. There's no need for you to allow the cares of this age to enter and choke your heart and choke the word of God and choke your vision and choke even your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is what we're looking at as we look at the entangled heart, the nature of the entangled heart. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, now say, no man who has been enlisted into the army entangled himself with civilians' affairs. So we're only looking at the entangled heart. The nature of entangled heart is that it's entangled with so many ideas, so many affairs, civilian affairs, entangled with cares, anxieties, and the desire of many things. So let me ask our sister Marsha to read the notes under that section, the entangled heart.
Okay. So the entangled heart represents believers who genuinely receive the word of God with understanding, insights, and even with revelations gained unto them. Unlike the wayside or stony hearts, this heart understands the message, embraces it, and truly begins to grow in the understanding of the word. The soil is pleasant, the seed is active, and the spiritual development has begun. However, despite this promising start, the word eventually becomes unfruitful, not because of ignorance, hardness, or lack of depth, but because other things continue to grow alongside the word, and the competing priorities eventually suppress the increase and effectiveness of the word in such a life.
Thank you, okay. Sister Marsha. Just go on. Now, look at the Bible saying, and other things entering in, which means this entanglement, this cares of life, these worries, these thorns, according to that verse 19, he said, other things entering in, therefore choke it, pressed on it and suffocated it until it becomes fruitless. So we saw that, yes, the process of growth has started. The soil is good. The seed is viable. And the sower has cast in the seed. But other things entered in. Other things. So I want you to see this thing we are talking about. They are like interrupters. They're like things that came in to choke the word of God. And we're going to be seeing how such things come. Now, sister, go ahead, read it.
Okay. Our Lord Jesus identified these thorns as the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. These are not outright sins, but they constitute subtle distractions, pressures, and desires that gradually consume a person's attention, energy, and affection. As these thorns grow, they choke the word, suffocating the influence of the word would have produced in such a heart. The believer becomes spiritually overloaded, divided, and preoccupied. The word does not die instantly, but slowly strangulated until the word becomes unfruitful. This believer may have revelations, notes, teachings, and intentions, but no lasting transformation or fruit. The core issue has nothing to do with lack of truth, but rather a lack of focus. Fruitfulness requires clearing out competing priorities so that the word can mature without interference.
All right.
Let us
hold on. Okay. Just hold on before we will consider the next issues. And what was it? We are noting that even though the soil is pleasant, the seed is active and viable, and is willing and is ready to produce, and spiritual development has actually begun. But despite the fact that something good had begun, something else entering in. And what is it that entered in? The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, which we are going to now spend the rest of our discussions to begin to deal with as the Lord will permit us. But the first thing I wanted to note is that even though you may start well, the word of God may have come into your life and you are doing well. It is possible that you have even got a revelation of what God wants to do with you. It is possible that the Lord had started to even drop some spiritual gifts in your life. But now, because you have not dealt with thorns, you have not dealt with thistles, and these thorns and thistles, God called them straight away, as we are going to be studying, they are the cares of this world. They are the anxieties, the desire, oh, how do I get this? How do I get this? How do I get that? The cares, they come in to choke the word of God. They come in to choke that vision. And there are people listening to me today. You know God has a plan for your life. You know God has given you a vision of what you could have become. And you began to have a revelation of the word of God about it. Unfortunately, the desire to become something in the world, the desire to make it, as people say, I want to make it first. That anxiety, that deceitfulness of if I get more riches, I will be all right. I'll be settled in life. Choked everything that God was planting in your life. You have become quite fruitless now. You have become unfruitful because you are too busy for the word of God to germinate. You are too busy for the word of God to produce results. You are choked. You are entangled with civilian affairs. You have lost a singular focus on what God could have done in your life. He said, they may not look at sins. Nobody may call it to you as outright sins. He said, is it a sin? Is it a sin to chase money? Is it a sin to plan to be great on the earth? Is there a sin to be this? He said, no, we are not talking about sins. We are talking about distractions. We are talking about something replacing your core value. We are talking about something that is ephemeral, but has the capacity to uproot all that God wants you to become in life. We are talking about where God is going with you and these diversions that is coming on you, this distraction. And since you have started chasing these things, we are going to be studying from the Word of God. How far could you go with it? Don't allow those things to have choked out and choke up the Word of God, suffocating the influence that the Word will have produced in your life. I want to ask you, are you being overloaded and over distracted and divided and preoccupied with the civilian affairs of this world? Are you carrying upon yourself the cares, the anxieties? And as we will be studying right now, we'll be looking at what must we do? What is God's will? And what does the scripture say about this type of heart? And how do we respond to it? That's where we are going now. So we want to take the first section. We want to take the first point. Located among thorns. Located among thorns. That's point number A. Located among thorns. And I'm going to ask us to pick our scriptures again and read before we possibly turn to the book and pick a little to read today. So let's quickly go. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. Brother Scott, you will please help us read Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. And then Sister Stephanie, you will read Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Samuel 7, 3. 1 Samuel 7, 3. Sister Masha, you try to read that. And then we'll go to Luke 21, 34. Brother Scott, one more time. And then Sister Stephanie, you will come with us to read 1 Timothy chapter 6. I know it is from verse 9 and 10 that they want us to read, but I would like you to read from verse 7. You read from verse 7 to 10 and verse 17. Can we go on?
Yes. Jeremiah 4, verse 3, King James. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among the thorns.
Mm. Break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Yes?
Okay, and the Amplified Classic says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among thorns.
Mm. Break up your fallow ground, your ground left uncultivated, so that you do not sow among thorns. Let's read Hosea chapter 10, verse 12.
Yes, sir. Hosea 10, 12, Good Living Translation. I said, plow new ground for yourselves, plant righteousness, and reap the blessings that your devotion to me will produce.
Which version did you read?
Good News Translation.
Good News. Can we try to read it from the New King James or the Old King James?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
New King James.
Yes.
New King James.
Okay.
Yeah. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you.
sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, break up your uncultivated ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for him, and to require of his favor till he comes and rains righteousness, you know, upon you. So we're saying, for any man that God will use, a heart that is located among tongues, something must be done to it so that you don't waste the grace of God. You don't waste the rain that God is releasing. God had announced to us that the times of refreshing is coming from the presence of God. But do you know that if rain falls on a ground with thorns, even though it is the correct seed you want to grow, you want to fertilize, but thorns that don't always need fertilizer, they will grow at first. So that's why you need to break up the fallow ground. You need to clear out the thorns and the thistles. You need to clear out all those things that will not allow the word of God to find root in your heart. Sometimes you need to clear out even friends that are a hindrance to where you are going with God. There are relationships that are thorns. They are thistles. They will continue to, choke you up. You know, when the children of Israel were to leave the land of Egypt, and God told them, say, when you get to the land of Canaan, drive out all the people. But if you do not drive them out, I will leave them to become thorns and thistles in your eyes. There are things that you need to cultivate right away. You need to break up the fallow ground. You break up those things and clear out the thorns so that your heart is prepared to receive what God is about to give you. So that God can bring in the precious seed, can rain. He said that God may rain the rain of righteousness upon you. God is willing to pour upon us something precious, something fresh, but not on hearts that is among thorns. We don't want to sow among thorns because we know already thorns will choke it up. Now, thank you very much. Let's read the 1 Samuel 7:3. 1 Samuel 7:3. Yes.
1 Samuel 7:3. This is the New King James.
Yes.
It says, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.
You see, so we are talking about clearing the ground, breaking the fallow ground. And you see what it will mean when you look at it practically from what Samuel was saying. Samuel said, he spoke unto all the house of Israel, if you do return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only. Then he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So when we talk about break up the fallow ground, clear out the thorns, we are talking about things that are choking your life, strange gods, strange habits, strange friends, strange relationships, things that as soon as the word of God comes and you are trying to grow, there's that girl that will come and choke it up. There's that young man that will come and say, oh, Sister Cecilia, are you taking this so seriously? And before you know it, he has choked out what God was beginning to do in your life. What does God say? Break up the fallow ground. Clear out the thorns. Break out. Put away the strange gods, the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord. you are here listening to this Bible study this evening, I mean today, and the question I'm asking is that, what are those thorns that need to be taken out? What are those connections that you need to disconnect yourself from? Who are those friends that they are not, in fact, they are adverse to your spiritual growth? The more you are advancing with the purpose of God, the more they are annoyed. They want to choke you out. They want to divert your attention. They want to distract you so that what God is doing in your life does not produce fruit. Maybe you have been exposed to an encounter with God, and this encounter is so real. But as you are coming out of that experience, you are going back into tongues. You are going back among the tissues. What you are excited about in the presence of God as you come among them, and as you say, oh, look at what God has done, say, what has God done? Don't be confused. Don't let anybody brainwash you. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. It's not like that. And they use their mouth to scatter everything that God has done in your life. And they distract you with other issues, with other ideas. Now, he said, it must be cleared out. Now, let's read Luke 21 and verse 34. Brother Scott, Luke 21, verse 34.
Yes. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, mm-hmm. drunkenness, mm-hmm. and cares of this life, and that yes. day come on you unexpectedly.
All right. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, the old King James said, your heart be overcharged.
Mm-hmm.
Overcharged
yeah.
with suffering and with drunkenness mm-hmm. and cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. Brother, what we make men people to be caught unawares when the day of the Lord will come, when the day of their own visitation will come, or when God will blow the final trumpet for the saints, and to rise and go with him. The Bible said, it will be cares of this life. It will be that your heart has been overcharged. You are over-concerned. You are overloaded with all kind of things that will not let you be sensitive. You become unaware when the day of the Lord will come. He said, and I read verse 35. He said, for as a snare shall he come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I have read up to verse 36, so I hope that you can add it to your note from Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, would be very good for us as we study here. Now, let's now go back to read the 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I said this time, we want to read it from verse 7 rather than from verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yes?
Yes, sir. 1 Timothy 6, 7 yes. to 10.
Yes.
And 17?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, sir. And it reads, for we brought nothing into this world, mm-hmm. and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Yes.
And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Many sorrows.
And verse 17 says,
yes, yes.
Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust
go ahead.
nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Yes. He said, charge them. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not haughty, they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. We need to take note of that. But let's go on very quickly as we take the brief summary under that note. Can we ask Sister Marsha to read The Entangled Heart?
Yes. Okay, so The Entangled Heart is an uncleared, fallow ground, a soil that has never been tilled or prepared. Given that there is no vacuum in nature, an uncultivated soil is never empty. It automatically grows weeds and thorns. These thorns represent the ordinary natural preoccupation that fill a man's inner life long before God's word arrives. Everyday worries, ambitions, desires, and pursuits. If these natural occupants are not removed, they will choke the spiritual seed, preventing God's word from growing and bearing fruit.
Yes.
They compete with the word, drawing from the same inner resources that could have been engaged by the Holy Spirit to nurture the word of God that has been sown into the heart. Unless they are deliberately uprooted, they will hinder spiritual growth and make fruitfulness impossible. Let us discuss these thorns in more detail.
All right. Now let's go on quickly now to discuss these thorns. Let's try to be a bit detailed about them and see how far we can go, trusting God to help us today. Now, we want to look at that, the cares of this world, and we want to get all the things that Jesus said about them. The cares of this world, we said it includes everyday needs, everyday pressures and anxieties, and material concerns that dominate the human life and distract the heart from God. So we want to see what do they constitute. And the first point we are noting is worries about your life. Worries about your life. And again, we're going to pick our scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27, and verse 31 to 32. Sister Stephanie, you will start reading Matthew chapter 6. 25 to 27, 31 to 32. We read Philippians before, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. I think we've read it before, but since we are coming at it again, I would ask Brother Scott to pick it for us. Then Psalm 55, verse 22. Sister Marsha, we'll get back to you. Psalm 37, verse 25. Let me ask Brother Scott to pick that up again. And then we now go to Proverbs 10, 22. And I will be asking Sister Stephanie to read that. When we finish all of that, we'll then go back and read the next set of scriptures. We're just looking about worries about life. Matthew 6, 25 to 27.
Matthew 6, 25 to 27 and 31 to 32, New King James Version.
Yes.
Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubic to his stature? 31-32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, we're reading on before we take on these two passages. Philippians 4, 6 to 7.
Yes. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And if I read that from Living Bible, let me read from Living Bible. While you go and check it from Amplified Version for us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So that's how Living Bible has put it. I said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Ebra Scott, you want to try it for us from the Amplified Version?
Yes. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Yes. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
It shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and your mind. You'll be actually at peace. All the things that is tearing people apart. Oh, you have not got this. You have not got this. Oh, when will you get this? Oh, when will you arrive there? That worries and scatters people's heart. He said the peace of God will garrison your heart. The peace of God will set a guard and keep you at peace within. You know, as we are reading that, the next passage that came to my mind was Isaiah 26, verse 3. It said, and he will keep in perfect peace those whose hearts turn often to the Lord. So if you are a man who casts every care upon the Lord, who will tell God about everything instead of worrying about anything, the peace of God that passes all human understanding will settle on your heart, will garrison your heart, will guard your heart. You won't be scattered inside. There are many people that you are scattered inside. You are worried. You are restless. So whatever God wants to do in your life, he's being choked because you are restless. You are just worried about everything. And it will appear as if worry is a natural thing to do. It will look as if to worry is the normal thing, is a responsibility. Say, well, if you say I should not take thought about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, what else am I thinking about? Right? Can I be alive without thinking? And, you know, worry and anxiety had made you look as if that's the normal thing to do. You think it's by worrying about things that things happen to you. And in that passage that Sister Stephanie read, Matthew chapter 6, say, which of you, by taking thoughts, by anxiety, has added one cubit to your stature? Just think about it. What has worry ever done to you? It has only disintegrated your life. It has choked you up. It has made you confused. It has scattered your mind because you are not learning to pass your cares upon him who cares for you. Yes, Psalm 55, verse 22, Sister Marsha.
Okay. Okay, so Psalm 55, verse 22, this is a New King James Version.
Right.
It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved.
Cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. Release the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow you, will not allow the righteous to be moved. He will not allow you to be made to slip, fall, or fail. God doesn't do that to those who trust him. Cast your burdens on the Lord. You remember that there's that song. It said, cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Keep on trusting. Never doubt. He will bail you out. Cast your body on the Lord and leave it there. There are some of you, you say, oh, you have prayed, but you are still carrying that body. You say you have told God, but the whole thing is still on your neck. Imagine that we just finished talking to God about a matter, but you are still carrying it on your neck. You say, well, if I don't think about it now, if I don't plan for it now, if I don't run around out now, what will happen to me? And God is saying, but I thought you brought the burden for me to carry for you. Now, when people are distracted with burdens of life, cares of life, something happens to the word of life in them. It chokes them up. It does not allow them to be fruitful with the truth. It does not allow the word of God to produce any result in their lives. The entangled heart, it might look as if it's all right to be entangled with cares. Oh, what will my children eat? Where will my father be buried? And my mother, what will I do for her? All of those things that have bothered your heart has not allowed God's word to produce the kind of fruit that it should have been producing in your life. And many of you are cut short. Many of you are growing older than your age because worry has actually siphoned all the grace that could have been yours. Now, as we go on, now let's read Psalm 37, verse 25. Brother Scott, you are the one to read that for us. And Proverbs 10, 22. We are returning to Sister Stephanie. Can we try?
Yes. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread.
I have been young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous nor the son begging bread. I've been young, now I'm old. Now I'm just looking at that brother. And I'm looking at how I can also identify with that scripture. Since I was young, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Since I met the Lord and I started to pass my life upon him, he has not disappointed me one day. And what I'm talking to you about now is not theory. It's a life that is livable. We have lived it and we are still living it. But if you allow cares and worries to choke the word of God in your life, even the word of faith that will have made you a man who lived and trusted in God will not grow. Will not grow. Right, my brother, you want to check it from the Amplified Bible?
Yes. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread.
No. I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And you will not be the first one, my brother. If you choose, you know, to follow the Lord and to walk with him, he will never forsake you, nor your seed begging bread. Some of what worries some of us is, hey, even if I can manage, even if I can endure, what of my children? What will happen to my children? What will happen to my child? This child, what is his own destiny? What will he eat? Where will he be? What do all of that? That is why you have not allowed God's word that will have brought you into a place of complete liberty in the purpose of God. You did not allow it because you are choked with all those cares. And I tell you, those children you are worried about, what can you do to actually change their destiny if God will not help you? So let's take it up one by one. What are those worries about your life that will not allow the word of God to find root, that will not allow the word of God to produce results? And yet I want to tell you the truth. It is in the word of God that you are choking up that your blessing lies. It is as you take God's word for what it is that all that God wants to do in your life will come to you freely, freely. Now, I think we should just read the next passages. Sister Stephanie, you are about to read Proverbs 10:22.
Yes, sir.
And then good Sister news. Marsha, you will read Psalm 34, verse 10.
Good News Translation, yes. Proverbs 10:22. Mm. It is the Lord's blessings that makes you wealthy.
Yes.
Hard work can make you no richer.
Wow. Wow. Sister Stephanie, I hope you are following that.
Yes, sir.
He said, it's the Lord's blessing. It's the Lord's blessing that makes you rich and add no sorrow to it. It's the Lord's blessing that makes a man wealthy. Hard work can make you no richer. And yet, because of all your anxiety, I want to make it in this world. I want to make it. I want to get rich. I want to make wealth. That's why you are not giving attention to the word of God that would have done it, that would have brought you up in God's eternal purpose. Yes, Sister Marsha, you want to read Psalm 34, verse 10.
Psalm 34 and 10 in the New King James says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Yes. Yes. That's the truth. The young lions lack, they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord, those who inquire and require of the Lord, they shall not lack any good thing. Who by the right of their need and on the authority of God's word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Anything that is good, nothing will take it away from them. And Psalm 23, verse 1, what did it say?
It says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything good. They want you to read it for us on Good News Translation, Good News Bible. Can you try?
Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I pray that you will make God your shepherd and you will rest in what God can do. You will know that when God is in charge, nothing is beyond his hand. All that concerns you, he will perfect. And I think John 14:27, Sister Stephanie, are you the one reading for us? Isaiah 41:10, Sister Marsha. John 14:27, sisters.
Yes. Yes, sir. John 14:27.
Yeah.
And it reads, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid."
Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Yes, Sister Marsha.
Isaiah 41:10 in the New King James Version says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Amen. Fear not. There's nothing to fear. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. That's the promise of God. So, will I ask you to check what is the worries that you are worried about your life? Those are the things that as they enter, they don't allow you to be fruitful. They choke that heart and make sure it cannot make progress with God. Now, Brother Scott, you will now read the summary under that very quickly.
Yes, worry feels natural and even responsible, but the Word of God calls it a thorn that suffocates God's Word. Anxiety, thoughts about survival or provision or the future add nothing to your life. Instead, they drain your strength, distract your mind, and hinder your spiritual growth. While some of these concerns are authentic, worrying or being anxious about them does not change anything. Worry is not only unproductive, but also pointless for those who trust God. Your life is far more significant than the physical things you chase: food, drink, clothing, and material security. The birds of the air do not store food or plan their future, yet they survive because God consistently sustains them. If God cares for creatures with no strategic ability, how much more his children who hold far greater value? They can rest in his provision. Many believers remain spiritually poor not because they lack the truth, but because of constant cares that choke the word before the word can bear fruit. Can I encourage you to clear these thorns? Break up your fallow ground, free up your thoughts from worldly anxieties, and give God's word room to grow. When the seed grows unhindered, it produces victory, divine health, and true riches. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Now, I think the next passage we are going to go into will be the deceitfulness of riches. And we have read up to the point where we are talking about sow not among thorns. And we have looked at the cares of this age. So I'm going to just ask Sister Marsha, so please pick the book. Just pick the book. We just want to read a little portion out of it and then go ahead with our study. If we can't press on today, then we are going to come back to look at the deceitfulness of riches and lust and all of those things. But can you pick the scripture for us, the book, and help us read very quickly?
Chapter 5, The Entangled Heart.
Yes.
Then and some...
I want you to pick it from Among Thorns on page 80.
Okay.
Among Thorns. We have done a bit of the summaries. Yes.
Okay. So page 80, Among Thorns.
Mm.
For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. And that's Jeremiah 4 and 3. The picture of this heart the Lord is showing to us is clear. It is an uncleared ground. It is still a fallow, untilled soil. Normally, there is no vacuum in nature. Therefore, there is no heart that is naturally vacant. Every heart, once not cultivated, grows weeds and thorns.
Can you Sister Masha, please repeat that, that there's no vacuum in nature. Yes.
So normally, there is no vacuum in nature. Therefore, there is no heart that is naturally vacant. Every heart, once not cultivated, grows weeds and thorns.
Let's note that every heart, once it's not cultivated, once it is not cleared, it grows weeds and thorns. Even when you have cultivated a farm, if you don't keep weeding it out, weeds and thorns are coming to choke it. This is what you need to note. That your heart was correct months ago does not mean something will not enter in and choke it up. So the question of breaking the fallow ground, clearing out the weeds, are very, very critical issues which we cannot take for granted. Go ahead. You have muted yourself. Can you unmute? Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead. Okay.
So, every heart that is not weeded of its natural occupants before the word of God comes in is bound to be unfruitful because the weeds will eventually choke the new spiritual life. So thorns in this scripture refer to things that normally occupy the human heart ever before the word of God comes to it. The common things that everyone thinks about, thoughts of what to do, what to become, or what to seek to have in this life. That is what the Bible calls the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. These things are also seeds of their kind, the seed of weeds. They also need to be embedded in the soil. They need some deep thoughts to thrive upon. They also seek to grow and take root in the heart. They share the same manure to grow as the real seed. What are these thorns? The care of this age, the worries of this world system, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Let us consider these things closely.
Now, before we go ahead, Sister Masha, I wanted to note one key word that we are noting here. That even weeds, they also come by their seed. Just as the word of God is the seed that can produce God's life, that can produce the kingdom life, that can produce all that God wants to make out of your life, weeds also have their seeds. And we want to note that the things that choke a man's life up, the things that occupy the human heart ever before the word of God comes to it, the things that you wake up to think about, what to do, what to become, what to seek to have in this life, all of them, they have seeds. And these seeds, they come in also by the thought. So when you read that section, let me ask Sister Masha to just repeat these things. The last paragraph you are picking on that page 80. Can you read it again so that we can tie off from there?
Yes. So it says, these things are also seeds of their kind, seed of weeds. They also need to be embedded in the soil. They need some deep thoughts to thrive upon. They also seek to grow and take root in the heart. They share the same manure to grow as the real seed. What are these thorns? The care of this age, the worries of this world system, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Let us consider these things closely.
All right, so go ahead now. Let's take the cares of this age.
Go, cares of this age.
Yes.
So I'm going to read. Do you want me to read the whole of Matthew 6:25 as it's written here?
Yes, let's read it. Okay. Let's read it.
So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And that's Matthew 6:25-32.
Yes.
So worries about your life. The worries and cares of this world are the number one thorn, yet it looks so reasonable and convenient to think about your life, your welfare, your personality, your house, and your future. You may even ask, and why not? Must I be so careless, thoughtless, and planless as not to be careful about my family, my life, and my future? How do you survive in this world without that? The truth is that every anxious thought that you take about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, is but a waste. It does not add anything to your welfare. Rather, it actually reduces your strength for effectiveness. It deprives you of thought and time to become what God really intends you to be in your lifetime. Jesus actually said it cannot add an inch to your real stature in life. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And that's now, Matthew 6:27.
Just hold on at that point. You know, what we're dealing with here, you would think it is correct to be worried or to think or to care about what will I eat, what will I drink, what will I wear, about my family, about my life, about my future. You know, it looks legitimate. It looks correct. But the truth of the matter is that the thought about it, the worry about it, does not change anything and does not bring it to pass. So when Jesus said, take no thought about it, he was dealing with an issue that I think we should spend time to look at now. If we cannot get at it because of our time today, when we come next week, I would like to start by looking at how do you make sure that the thoughts about what to eat, the thoughts about what to wear, the thoughts about where to stay does not rob you, does not entangle you in becoming what you should have become. The things you are desiring to become, it's not worrying about it that will make you become it. The desire of your heart, oh, I want to get to this. Worrying about it will not get you there. There's something else that God will need to show you to get you there. And it is just by taking God by his word. Marsha, can you complete that you are reading so that we can stop at the deceitfulness of riches and lust?
So these are things that God in his infinite love has undertaken to provide for his own children. He does it even for unbelievers and even for common birds and grass of the field. Why must you waste your thoughts and your resourcefulness on these cares? Why divert the thoughts meant to grow the word of God into these that will only make you more engrossed in the affairs of this world? Every care about these things is not only a waste, but it is a thorn that chokes and strangulates the seed in a man's life. The seed of victory, the seed of divine health, is the word of God when fully grown. It will fill your life with all good things. But the cares of this age will systematically strangulate the virtues of the divine nature before it has any chance to bless your life with true riches.
Do you understand that? Sister Masha, just hold on. Can we understand what we are saying here? I'd noted with you that even the weeds, they come by seed. And the seed of worry, the seed of anxiety, they're also coming as if it's a legitimate desire. But what you do every time you take care about these things is only not a waste, but it's a thorn. It's a thorn. It comes to choke and strangulate the seed that will have produced results in your life. It doesn't allow you to settle down. It doesn't allow you to take the word of God as it is. So worry is not only a waste, but it's a thorn. It distracts, it chokes up, and does not allow you to become even the things that you are desiring to become. One of the prayers you are going to pray today is, Lord, clear my heart of entanglement. Take away from me all the thorns, relationships, friendships, all the things that does not allow the seed of the word of God to grow unto fruitfulness in my life. Lord, I want you to take it away. I want you to take it away. Now, my sister, please go and read it.
So several men are poor today as far as spiritual things are concerned, not because they do not know the truth of God's word, but because their cares and worries did not permit them to allow God's word produce any permanent fruit in their lives. The counsel of Scripture is, break up your fallow ground, clear up the thorns, free up your thoughts so that the seed will have space to grow in.
Thank you very much. I think if you put your finger where we are stopping today, by God's grace, when God brings us back, we will begin to look at the deceitfulness of riches. The reason I don't want to rush that is because the matter of riches, the riches of this world, we need to study it because it's a very serious thorn that chokes many. It has destroyed many people in the anointing. The desire to be rich has taken away the message from the mouth of many pastors. They are making gimmicks and doing all kinds of things to make money. And so they are choked. What God wants to do with their lives is choked. We couldn't see the result. We will stop at this point for today. And when we come back next week, even with your outline, we are starting with the deceitfulness of riches. We start from the book and the outline, then we can finish up together. Now, would you like to stop here with me and pray? Perhaps the word of God has been coming to you. God gives you good insight to this word. God reveals to you what he wants you to be. But your anxiety, the cares of this life, all the worries that entered had not allowed you to be as fruitful as you should have been. You are now stunted. You have been choked. You have been suffocated. Something has pressed you in so that you couldn't become what heaven wants you to be. You are going to pray this evening. You are going to pray today and say, Lord, clear out of my heart every tongue. He said, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. It is time to seek the Lord so that God can rain the rain of righteousness upon you. God wants to rain his word in your life again. God wants to rain righteousness upon your life. God wants something wonderful, something fruitful to break out of your life. But with thorns, it will choke it up. These thorns may be friends, may be relationships. You know it. You know it. I don't need to describe it to you. Those things have not allowed you to progress. The worries of your life have kept you stagnant. You are stagnated. You are going to say, Lord, take this away. Sometimes you are caring about your child. Sometimes your worry is about your son that is out there. Instead of casting that curse on God, you are carrying it on your neck. I see you losing weight. I see you developing high blood pressure because of care, because of worry. And it has not changed anything. It's choking you up. Are you choked? Are you entangled? It is time to say, Lord, I will cast all my burden upon you. Cast all your burden upon the Lord and leave it there. Tell God today, I want you to have my heart. I want you, God, to have a cleared heart, a cultivated heart, a heart that is not entangled, so that I can progress with you. I can become what you are saying concerning me. And each one of us will need to do that. No matter how much you have grown, I said, weeds don't need fertilizer to develop. Even when you thought you have planted very well, you must go on weeding of the weeds because they want to enter. They want to creep in. Will you pray and say, Lord, let me not allow any creeping weeds to come and choke what you are doing in my life now. Maybe the Holy Ghost has brought you into a very great experience and you are experiencing something fresh. But weeds want to choke it up. Distractions want to choke it up. Are you a martyr? You are even distracted because of the service you are doing for God. You are even distracted because of the church ministry you are running. And it is choking your life up. Will you bring it before God today and say, Lord, I will choose that one thing that is needful. Just as Mary chose it, Lord, I want to choose that one thing that is needful. Shall we bow our heart to pray together? Please call on God for yourself. If you are in this class today, the Lord had allowed you to follow us to this point, and the Holy Spirit is pointing at entanglement. Entanglement. Are you entangled? Are you entangled with civilian affairs? Are you entangled with worries? Are you entangled with strange desires? Are you entangled even with friends who are not compassionate? They are not passionate about what God is saying about you. They are there to quench it. Will you say, Lord, cut it off for me. Weed out of my heart every weed, every thorn, every thistles, that I may allow your word to grow and to bear fruit inside of me. All the nurture, all the mature, all the things that God is bringing in, don't let weeds consume it. Please pray and say, Lord, take my heart. And if Jesus is knocking on your heart and say, I'm the only one, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the one that will not allow you to have any lack in life, can you open up to him and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and be the shepherd of my soul. Be the shepherd of my soul. Be the shepherd of my soul. Will you open that to him and cast your cares upon him because he cared for you? Say, a good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He laid down his life at the cross that we might be free. You don't have to carry that body anymore. You can cast it at his feet and it shall be well with you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. As many as are calling upon you, Lord, in the course of this Bible study, please visit us. Touch us again and touch us afresh. We ask, Lord, that all weeds, all thorns, all thistles, all entanglements, all things that have distracted our hearts, Lord, we are asking, put your axe on the root of these things. Cut them out, Lord, and clear it. Say, break up your fallow ground. That's what we desire to do today. As many as are making this decision, we ask that your hand will be stretched out upon them. Let your face shine upon them. Let your word come afresh to them. And let there be a fresh springing of your very life, of your very word in their spirit. Thank you for hearing us today. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.